Welcome, everybody, to the Four Outdoorsmen. It is Sunday night, week two of the pandemic. There's not much going on in the outdoors. Drew Mann is stuck in Florida. He's going to be calling in a few minutes. But I have two guests here and two friends with me. Sam Oftedal is back in action. Sam, how are you?
Good. How are you, man?
And I also have Doug Glimmerveen. Hello, Doug.
Hello.
So, guys, what's going on with you?
Not much, man.
So far, corona-free, so get that going for me.
That we know of.
Yeah, it's good to be out of the house.
I was tested on Friday.
Did you?
Thursday.
Really?
Thursday, yeah. Well, a screening anyway.
Okay.
Where they did the temperature and all that stuff, so I was fine.
Now, why would they give you a screening? Did you, like, go in or something? Or?
Well, no, for my normal job.
Okay.
I fill vending machines, yep. And I have a nursing home.
Okay.
And they wanted us to come out and check the machines and stuff, so... Yeah, it was weird because I've never been that nervous ever in my life to get my temperature taken. And so they take my temperature and maybe fill out a questionnaire. Have you gone out of the country and blah, blah, all that stuff. And
right.
Then they walked me from machine to machine. And it was weird because the place was a ghost town because all the residents were locked in their rooms.
Locked in their rooms, yeah. Yep. My mom doesn't live in a nursing home. She lives like in an elderly community.
Yep.
But there's a lot of people at risk and... So it's like, I don't even want to go in there or, you know.
I didn't really either, but it's like they've got employees that need, you know, need to fill their vending machines and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think I could notice that the sales were way, way, way down. So it's going to be like, I'll go in like 2 weeks,
yep.
You know, and they'll be fine for that long and we'll take it from
there. Are you deemed as an essential worker then? Because you are stocking food for people, right?
I don't know how that's going to work if they do a complete shutdown. I mean,
they're going to do that?
I doubt it.
There was a lot of rumors on Friday, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I actually even went home because you know how it works? Like, my friend's brother's cousin works for the National Guard, and he's getting called up. You know what I mean? So
it's tinfoil hat time, baby.
Yeah, so, you know, there's so many rumors going around. So, I do need to do a disclaimer, right, Brandon?
It's not a bad idea.
Okay, I've been told to do a disclaimer. We are not health professionals on this show. For any information, go to CDC. To get any actual information or anything like that. So don't take anything we say about COVID-19.
Seriously.
The Chinese virus seriously. And we will, we'll just give our opinions on how it's affected our lives and how it's affecting the outdoors and stuff like that. So there's my disclaimer.
What was that?
Are we legal
Perfect.
Now?
I think we're legal.
Okay. Brandon, your church is... Shut down, right?
Yeah, we're shut down there. We did a video streaming, and then we even had like a little kind of video conference call after to kind of talk about it, which actually was kind of cool because we've never even done that when we've had live church. So it actually went a little further than usual, which is kind of a silver lining to the deal. But yeah, everything's different.
Definitely. So are you in charge of the live stream, or do you do music or what?
No, we're still kind of...
Give your church a shout out, dude.
Yeah, Hope Church in Blaine, right on the corner of 109th and 65.
Nice.
And we're still kind of working out how to live, because that's not something we've done before. I mean, we have an app and we do post our messages, like the video message, but we've never done like a whole service and we've never live streamed. So it's a whole new kind of ballgame for a lot of churches. And that's been something that I've been following along with as just kind of watching all these people try out a whole new kind of technology or a new approach to their services, and it's been interesting.
Brandon, is that the church right by the VFW?
Yes, right next door.
So you guys do the food drives every Thursday?
Every Thursday, yeah.
Good for you
So
guys.
If you need, and we're still doing that, so on Thursday, always looking for volunteers, too. If you're looking for a place to serve or just some way to help, Hope Church in Blaine on Thursdays, anytime from like 9 to 5 that you have to serve, you know, feel free to just show up, and they'll give you something to do, but... last week and then this week, we've been doing like a kind of a drive-through style,
people
don't have to get out of their cars. There's limited kind of interaction and stuff, and we're taking care of, we're doing everything we can to keep things good. So I mean, constant hand washing, sanitizing stations, everything's kind of taken care of. So Hope Church in Blaine, Hope for the Community is the name of the food shelf every Thursday.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Very cool.
Good for you guys.
Thank you.
So what have like I've. Talk to you guys about I've always had kind of prepper tendencies, and that's more thoughts than action. Like I've probably over the last 10 years probably watched 1,000 hours of just doomsday prepping stuff just because it interests me. So of course then it's not doomsday, but this thing comes along, right? And I'm like, oh crap, you know, it's like I never actually did it. So I have guns and ammo and spades, right? That's I've always bought that, I've always had that. But
then you're set.
Yeah. Toilet paper. You need toilet paper and hand sanitizer.
Yeah, I mean, like, I never would have thought of that. I think, obviously, we're all sick of talking about toilet paper, but that's something that...
Yeah, Brandon.
I'm sorry.
Hey, if the toilet, I'm just saying, if the toilet paper runs out, I got enough white t-shirts to last me a while, so I'm good.
I got enough ammo to go get me some.
Yeah. My neighbor is like, my neighbor just happened to finish his basement, and he put a bidet in his basement.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah. So he's like, I'm good, dude. I'm
has
like,
anybody, you, any of us here used a bidet? I've never.
Nope.
It's like the three shells in Demolition Man. You ever?
I posted about that the other day, and then I saw like everybody doing it. I said, this is how we get the three seashells thing from Demolition Man.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you ask him if you could use it?
No, but I will.
Yeah,
no,
I'm good.
I'm one for disposable wipes. I know this is a lot of info, but I've told many many crap stories on air, so I'm not too shy about it.
You're finding out way too much about your bathroom. Yeah.
So I buy disposable wipes. The Scotts are my favorite. By the caseload, right? So I have a case everywhere that I would be. I have one at work. So I'm like, I'm good for a good 6 months.
Oh, but I remember that from SHOT Show, actually.
Yeah. When I travel, I bring him with me.
He had a backpack supply.
My life is exponentially better since I've gone to that. But yes. Anyway.
Do you also carry around like a squatty potty? Have you been using those?
I have not, but I should.
That's
really
a squatty
should.
Potty and a bidet are things to add to your list.
So, you know, one thing being hunters, meats. The meat section is empty.
But my freezer's full.
Yeah, your freezer's
so
full.
So I'm good to go, man.
The vegan section's full. Go ahead and stock up on vegan stuff. That's all readily available.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Hard pass.
That's one of the funny things to do is walk down the aisles of the grocery store and see what people aren't buying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I was a guy who owned a grocery store, I'd start taking inventory in that.
Like, yeah,
you know,
for
what
sure.
am I not going to carry as much of now?
Yeah.
Because nobody wants it in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
I bought these, I was at Cub and I bought these Tony Roma, like pre-cooked ribs, because I'm like, I have a freezer full of meat, but then you got to thaw it out. And I want to keep that stuff for when I need it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll just buy these. And they were the only thing on the entire stretch. And I'm like, okay. They were terrible. They were absolutely terrible.
That's hilarious.
I know we're not getting a sponsor from them anytime soon, but Strewman is on the phone. Strew, are you there, buddy?
I'm here. Are you there?
We're here. How are things in Florida? Great time for a vacation.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's been 85 degrees every day. We've been here for about a week right now, and our trip was supposed to be through April 1st, but that ain't going to happen because if I'm going to sit in a room for the entire day, for the most part, I'm going to do it at home. It's sad, but weather's nice. We played a round of golf today. Diane and I did. We went spent some time in the ocean a couple of days ago, but
you're out there with all those spring breakers. That you
no,
see those
no
videos on the news. Just
look here,
at
man.
Oh, they're not, they left finally.
No,
that's
we
been
at,
all over the news. There's been people out on the beach, and I just see Strew right in the middle of all of them playing volleyball with a bunch of high school girls.
I could, too, drinking White Claws.
Yep.
Every beach in Florida is shut down.
Yeah.
No one's out there anymore. You know, we were at La Quinta Hotel a couple of nights ago, and it was right off the beach, and there might have been three rooms booked, and one of them was ours, and they said at this time of the year, every year it is absolutely filled up and nothing's happening, pal. You know, so no, it's the same all over. So life goes on, but I don't know.
Strew, you coming back tomorrow?
I'm coming back tomorrow. I got lucky. You know, we planned to stay until April 1st, and then I contacted United. They let me cancel our flight, which was for $275 back home for Diana and me, and that was with a layover in Houston. I got a flight for $75 a piece tomorrow from Tampa, where we are right now, and it's straight through with no layover. So everyone's hurting, boy. And we're going to come back tomorrow and just check the rest of the world and see if I got any money in my bank account.
Well, I wouldn't check your retirement account anytime soon, but we should all do okay, right? A country boy can't survive, Strew.
Yeah, but you're 40 years old. I'm 69. You know, by the time this thing bounces back, all I'll get is a gold colonoscopy bag or something. You know, it won't do me any good.
Hey, you raised your kids right. They'll take care of you.
As a matter of fact, my son, Michael, you guys know, love Mike, like Eric, I love all my kids. He bought 120 acres in last fall, whatever. He keeps telling Diana and me he wants to build us a house, or at least on the house they're going to build for themselves, he wants to build us a like a mother-in-law apartment. I'm all in, pal, as long as it doesn't cost me a whole lot of money. But that's what it is.
It will. Don't worry, it will.
Yeah, so So who's your special guest there tonight?
So we have Donnie Vincent. He's a famous hunter, fisher, biologist. We had him on a long, long time ago, if you can't remember. And we also have our friend Doug from SmackDown Outdoors podcast. I've been following him for a long time. So,
hi, Drew. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. You know, by the way, when I said I was trying to promote you, pal.
I saw that.
Who's your famous guest, or whatever. And he went right to Doug Vincent. I meant the guy you got standing next to you right now.
Yeah, but Donnie's way more famous than me anyway, more important. That's okay.
That's all right. Yeah, he can't bull fish like you can. I bet he could. Probably could.
I bet you he can. Well, I know he's a better shot than I am with a bow in the first place, so he's probably a better bow fisher than me.
Well, we've had a lot of fun here. I'll tell you what, let's you guys get back to the show, and Diane and I will listen, and because I'm a fan. You know, I'm a fan of the Four Outdoorsmen, we're just looking forward to getting home tomorrow morning. We're flying out at 7, so we're up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. Be home at 10:30 or so, and we'll go, hey, you could pick me up tomorrow, couldn't you, Mark? You're not working anymore.
I am working at the moment, actually. So
really?
I can still pick you up, though, if you need it.
Well, I'll text you if we do, but I don't want to bother you. You know, you got a family to raise.
Anyway. I got nothing going on. Just kidding.
All right, take care of yourself, guys. Have a great
show. See you, Drew.
I'm looking forward
Safe
to hearing
travels,
all you guys
man.
Doug and Donnie Vincent, because I need a new car. And ask, hey, I tell you what, ask Brandon who Donnie Vincent is, all right? The other Donnie Vincent. You'll get a kick out of that.
Yeah, Stu kept saying, oh, you mean the car dealer?
Yeah.
I'm like, and I've never heard of the car dealer.
Yeah, the classics. What is it, Stu? It's the, God, I can't remember the name of it. What am I looking for?
I don't know, but Donnie Vincent is a promoter
something
on
classics.
Bob FM, and his saying is something like, we'll put a smile on your face and a car in your driveway. He's on every time you go to Bob FM and trying to live stream it, he's got the commercial there. So Mark says to me, hey, Donnie Vincent's going to be on. The car salesman?
No, yeah, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, Stuart? He kept going on about car sales. I'm like,
Trust me. He's a car, and he's a big shot for Bob FM, so thanks to Donnie Vincent. Guys, stay curious. Have a great show. Doug, thanks for joining the crowd, and I'll see you guys sometime next week. We'll talk to you. All right, guys?
Bye, Stu.
Safe travels, Stu.
Yeah,
see you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
good old Stu.
Yeah. Only Stu would be like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'll go down to Florida still.
Brad Clark, our sales manager, is in Florida. His parents live down there, so he went for this weekend.
Oh, okay.
I'll see what's up tomorrow, though, if he's back in the office.
They're almost better just staying down there at this point than getting in on an airplane.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's the airport is the last place I wouldn't want to be. If you're paranoid about contracting anything.
Contact, whatever.
Oh, anyway. So.
But he's right, though. I wouldn't want to sit in a hotel for the next 7 days.
Yeah, I might as well be home. I'd rather be in place. You know what I mean? So have you had any trips to Fleet Farm or anything? And have you had any weird things you've noticed? Like I noticed when I went there, not only are the most things gone, but I saw a line of 20 plus people waiting to buy a gun.
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
I know.
We were just talking like, you know, back in 2009, 2010,
yep.
when everybody went and bought all this stuff out of being, you know, fear buying. And then, you know, we've had a few things hit with shootings and stuff, but everyone's been stockpiled.
Yeah.
Now it's like a whole new wave of people. And like I was saying before the show, they have 9mm ammo, you know, in the boxes that are just wiped out.
Yep.
Fleet Farm and other stores have had to put signs on the reloading stuff. Like, these are not actual, like, ammo. These are just components.
Yeah.
Like, so people are, like, don't know what they're buying.
They'll go bang.
See 9mm on it, and they just buy it, and they get home, and it's just the bullets. Like, well, some be.
Better learn how to start reloading.
Yeah. So it's a whole new wave. And, like, Doug was talking to that gun shop owner in California who just blew up on Facebook, man, saying, like, all these people who wanted to, like, stop gun sales are now trying to buy guns, and they're mad that they can't get them quicker.
Yeah.
And they're trying to bribe them. Here,
if I pay a little extra,
they're trying to pay extra to get it.
Not how it works.
That would be a big federal offense on that one.
I used to get that back at Gander. They'd be like, hey, if I give you $100 cash, can we not register this? I'd be like, heck yeah.
they don't really register them in Minnesota anyway.
Exactly.
So it's,
right.
Okay,
that's
I'll
a free hundo,
money.
Doug.
Yeah, exactly. All right, fine.
Well, I hope this brings some people into the Second Amendment rights fold.
I think it honestly will. I really do.
I don't trust anybody, man.
Yeah, because that's what someone said. You know, it's funny how when something pandemic happens and the first thing that goes after food is ammo and guns.
Yeah.
So people in their mind know what they need to protect themselves. So it's like, I mean, they're not buying cans of soup to throw at people like certain politicians want you to do.
And there's something about seeing an empty shelf that just makes you freak out.
It freaks people out, yep.
Because people our age have never seen that in their lives, really. Yeah. I've never seen an empty food shelf on anything. Have you guys?
No.
No. And the crazy thing is, like, you might not even like it, and if there's, like, two cans left, you're going to take it anyway for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, I better buy this.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, I haven't seen paper towels in 2 weeks, right? Yeah. I don't need them. If I see one, I'm going to buy it.
That's the thing. It's like if I go to a gas station and I see a 4-pack of paper or a toilet paper, it's like,
yeah,
should I?
Yeah.
And I mean, we got two giant cases of it that we did not go out to Costco and buy. We bought these 2 months
Whatever.
Ago.
Whatever. Yeah. You're the problem.
Yeah.
Right. You are the problem. Over.
Well, put it like this. We're not preppers, but we're always prepared at my house. So it's like, that's what I never understood. I talked to my wife about this about 2 months ago. I go, so like these hurricanes and wildfires and stuff, it's like people that live in these areas, all of a sudden now they're going out and preparing.
Yeah.
If I lived in Tornado Alley or Earthquakeville or whatever, I'm going to have a safe
room. I'm the mayor of Earthquakeville.
That's right. I mean, I'm going to have I'm going to be stocked up to begin with because you never know when stuff like that's going to happen.
Do you got a go bag?
Huh?
Do you got a go bag?
Yes, I do.
The bug out bag?
You're darn right I do.
Yeah.
I mean, smart. If you don't, I mean, just the bare essentials. Knives, you know, some ammo in there, a couple of clothes.
C4.
A water filter.
Water filter's good.
Little mini water filter. I mean, just some basic stuff, you know?
All right. Well, we are going to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk more about SmackDown Outdoors podcast and his new podcast, Make Fish Famous, with Doug Glimmerveen after the break.
Yeah, I know that.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
The Devil's Lake Secret has been out for many, many years. It's one of the top five fisheries in this country and is just waiting for you to make memories. Devil's Lake just might be the jumbo perch capital of the world. And now is the time to book your trip by going to devilslakend.com. There's great hotels, great eateries, great fishing, and a package deal to fit anybody who loves catching walleyes and perch through the ice. Hey, Devil's Lake, exciting, unique, and a superb ice fishing experience for the whole family. Book your memories now, devilslakend.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Today more than ever, you're likely thinking about enjoying time in the great outdoors. From spring turkey season to open water fishing, spending some time now with a copy of Outdoor News is your way to prepare for better days ahead. Subscribe to Outdoor News and every week we'll deliver a copy directly to your mailbox. It's loaded with valuable tips, gear reviews, and so much more. Call Outdoor News at 800-535-5191 or subscribe online at outdoornews.com.
It's Neil for Zero Res, and they know this. You're locked in your home with kids, pets, and spouses. Your carpet is your biggest air filter. During these times, it's important to keep everything as clean as possible. At Zero Res, they've taken the necessary precautions. Their techs are on top of COVID-19 and are well-versed in what they need to do to protect themselves and you. And Zero Res will continue to be open and ready for your call. Mention Bob FM to get special pricing. Call 952-ZERO-RES today or online at Zero Res Minnesota. Minnesota.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who owes back taxes, if you get nervous when the mail comes because you might get a letter from the IRS, then you've heard. Their enforcement agents are cracking down this year and can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts. Even your home or business could be at risk over unpaid taxes. It's all true, but it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. The award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief will fight to get you the best deal possible, protecting your paycheck and your assets from IRS collections. But don't delay, because the IRS is tacking on interest and hefty penalties every single day. So don't wait until it's too late. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
We're back with the Four Outdoorsmen. It's a Sunday night. The world is crumbling around us, but we're here. We're doing a radio show for you guys. We are essential, basically, to the public.
Yes.
Because we are a beacon of information. I'm going to do shout-outs here. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I realize there's not a lot of people in the cars right now, but I know a lot of people are listening from home or streaming and everything. And so I'm going to go through a couple of those. If you want to get on air, comment on the Four Outdoorsmen shout-out. Doug's got a nice fish there. He's going to tell us that story pretty soon. But our first one is Shannon Cruz. He's practicing social distancing with some nice pheasants there. My friend Jim Dickerman, Wood Duck Houses. I don't think the ducks will care about the screw-ups. He's got a little project with his kids there. And our friend Bill Katz from Katz Cover says, hi, hey guys, hope all is well. It's all good here. So I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors as well. Vexlar, Marine Electronics, Devil's Lake Tourism, our partners forever. They're just great people over there. Go visit Devil's Lake when you can. Katz Covers, thank you, and Power Lodge. I just talked to Corey at Power Lodge, and that's one of those things where we all know people that work in business, and businesses are going to be hurting now, so try to shop local if you can, support your friends and family. We're all going to be hurting financially a little bit here. I know I am. I'm in sales. No one's buying anything right now.
I heard
you're
that.
You're in sales. You know no one's buying anything right now, but I know it's going to be a dark time for a couple months, but we always come back, right?
Oh, yeah.
We always come back stronger than ever.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
You're right. And hopefully a lot of people are woken up to, I think a lot of people appreciate hunters a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's going to bring reality to a lot of different people in different ways, you know?
Yeah. And
I think we're thinking too a lot about the stuff that we take for granted. You know, yeah, now you're stuck at home and you can't even, like the other day I was thinking about how, like, I kind of miss being stuck in traffic.
Yeah,
I'll never miss that.
All it takes is a little social distancing, and I miss traffic jams.
Hey, it's a good time to spend with the family, get close with them again, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the point. You can either, we'll either look back on this as a time when everybody was freaking out and like panicking, or the time when you got closer to your family and you got to share, you know, that this time together and do, you know, kind of productive things, grow closer to each other. So that you can definitely take positives away from this, I think.
I have played the crap out of Uno with my wife and son this past week. Like, I think I've played that game collectively in my life maybe like 30 times, and 28 of them were in the past 4 days.
I took my son Nick out and Max, and we chopped wood in the backyard.
That is American.
I taught him how to split wood, and I built a little wood rack. So maybe it's a time, and shout out to the fam. I just got a text saying they're listening. Shout out to my wife, April. Thank you for watching the kids tonight. And Nick and Max and Sam, I hope you're being good, because I'll hear about it if you're not.
Yeah.
So anyway, to our special co-host tonight, Doug Glimmerveen, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's been a while since I've been hanging out with you guys.
Yeah, it's been a long time. And you know, we've run into each other at the sports shows. We've interviewed you before. But I've really started following you since you started doing podcasts, and I love it. I love your memes on Facebook probably more than anything, because
the Mille Lacs barrage I laid down the other day was I had people wondering if I was okay, melting down or what, and yeah, you know.
So I know our audience probably interlaps a lot of each other. I see comments on your show, and I see a lot of the same people commenting on our show. So a lot of people are familiar with both. But for those that aren't familiar with you, let's go to the way back. Let's go to where you're from, how you got started in the outdoors, who taught you, who was your mentor, and kind of how did you get to this point?
All right, real quick.
So talk for a good 15 minutes.
15? Dude, my podcast is 2 hours long. You want me to take up the old, what's the next show that's on?
Bare Facts and Fish Tales.
You want me to take up that time too? I can do it. No, born and raised Minnesota. My dad, I've been hunting. I've been fishing since I can remember. My first trophy fish, 7 years old, 8-pound walleye in Mille Lacs. My first walleye ever. Yes.
Seriously?
Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
And it's on the wall to this day. But I would go duck hunting with him. What really got me in the industry is I always tell people it was because somebody was born. Mm-hmm. It was my buddy's birthday. And I was over at the party. Some guys said, hey, you want to help us build some deer stands? I was never a deer hunter before this at all. And I'm like, I like building stuff and I like hanging out in the woods. Sure, I'll do that. Well, that means you're going to hunt too, right? I don't know. I don't have a gun or anything. He goes, don't worry, we got that covered. So I'm like, okay. So I hunted with them for a few years, and then I just kind of, decided that I was going to start filming, you know, just for my own thing and kind of put it out there in case I kill something. I can just teach people how to do stuff, you know, what did I do to make this, you know, a successful hunt or whatever. And then you end up getting in the industry because you meet people and this and that and the other. And one thing led to another, and I'd been listening to podcasts for a while, and I just decided, you know what? I'm going to do one. What am I going to do it on? Mm-hmm. Well, what am I good at? What do I at least know something about the outdoors? And I know so many people in the outdoors, being in the industry for about a decade, hunting and fishing, that, you know, and like I can get guests. It's not going to be that tough. So ordered a microphone, started booking guests, and November 5th, the first episode was officially dropped of 2018. And here we are 108 or 9 episodes later, and now it's basically become an addiction. I come home from work. I work downstairs in the podcast for a couple hours every day till the wife gets home, spend about a half hour with her.
Wait a minute. You work a couple hours a day on the podcast?
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. So work a couple hours, you know, I'll get home anywhere from 1 to 2 o'clock. I'll work a couple hours on it, and then the wife will come home, spend a little bit of time seeing how her day was done, and then I'll go back down into the lair and work on it a little bit more. And then who knows, you know, and then if I have a guest that night, there's a couple more hours. So, yeah, it's a part-time job, and it's an addiction as to the point where now I just released a second completely different podcast on Friday. I was waiting till the end of the month, but I figured since everybody's home, maybe give people something to listen to. But my first podcast is the SmackDown Outdoors podcast, and that's a very long-form, average 2 hours. Sit down with a guest, get to know them, get to know what they're into. It's a good just sit around and have a good conversation.
Right.
About fishing, about hunting. I've had a trapper, a falconer, an author, you know, all sorts of different people and different organizations on the show. And the amount of stuff that I've learned from these people is just insane.
Yep.
Just insane. And, people go, how do you handle – you know, learning all this stuff, and I go, I have to listen back myself a half a dozen times,
right?
Because you know, when we're here, I'll forget what we said in this room right now by the time I walk out of here. So I'll have to listen to the Four Outdoorsmen podcast to listen back to it and remember
on Tuesday
what I
morning.
Said. When was that?
Tuesday morning drops.
Good plug. So then I decided to release my other podcast, and that one is Make Fish Famous. And that one's going to be shorter. It's just fishing. It's just tips, techniques, tactics. I'm going to try to break stuff down like bobber fishing to the point where somebody who's never done it can really listen to it, go, okay, this is what I need. I'll go to get it. If I don't already have it, I'll put it all together. I'll go out and I'll try it.
So just, is it going to be like, and I appreciate this format, is it like breaking down a specific thing you're going to try? I'm going to try, using stick baits over rocks, it's like, is it going to be like a lesson plan or is it?
Yeah. We're like, I'll like bobber fishing. Okay. First I break down your rod, your reel, your line, any terminal tackle, what kind of bait to use. And then it's how do you present that bait, throw it out there and just let it sit. Well, sometimes I reel it back a little bit, do that or just slow reel it, not just let it sit in one area. Yep. And then, of course, I'll try to go over the places where you can find the fish, you know, where to target these species
with
a bobber setup. So,
yep.
And this show is going to be half hour-ish. They might be longer episodes. There might be shorter episodes.
You going to do live streaming at all?
That I'm staying completely away from the live because on SmackDown Outdoors podcast, I live stream every week and this and that and so many episodes. This one is just going to be audio only, you know, and make it that just – short stuff where people can get as much information as I can give you in a short amount of time.
Well, you mentioned kind of breaking it down and for beginners and stuff, but speaking from, I'm by no means a very good fisherman or experienced. I fished my whole life, right?
Yep.
So I'm almost embarrassed to like try different things that I've never done before, right?
Yep.
So I've spent hours and hours and hours on the boat since I was a little kid, right? I've never trolled with lead core. Or something like that.
And we're going to cover things like
that. Yeah. So it's, even though I have experience fishing, I know the terms, I know everything, I've never actually done it.
Yeah.
So it's refreshing to be able to have resources and not feel like an idiot. You know what I mean? Because we all have egos, right?
Right.
You know, you ask someone, hey, you have a radio show. You're supposed to know about this kind of stuff. And it's like, I don't know about that stuff. So it's great to have a resource for that kind of thing. So
yeah. And we're going to try to cover whether it's a fish, like different ways to do that, or like lead core. Or I've already, I put a post out on the Make Fish Famous Facebook page saying, hey, what are some things you want to hear? And I've already had a few on planer boards. Because planer boards in Minnesota, it's a struggle to get people to use a planer board.
I've never
There's probably people listening right now going, what is he talking about? Well, Google.
Fish my whole life, I've never used a planer board.
Yeah. And ever. And people think it's because you only use a planer board because of multiple lines. Like in Wisconsin, you can use three lines. No. There's many different reasons to use a planer board with only one rod and reel in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And we'll cover things like that, too. Yeah. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yep. So that
a notification on that one.
Huh?
Send me a notification on that one.
It's no, you have to listen to them all. I'm not telling you.
Facebook page?
Make Fish Famous. That's the brand new one. And the other one is SmackDown Outdoors Podcast, like I said. And that one is a long form. I sit down and have really good conversations with people. And I also have like a Fun Fact Friday on the SmackDown Outdoors Podcast where I just get on the online, look up whitetail deer and read a bunch of facts. Shorter stuff, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's fun doing podcasts. And I always tell people, hey, start one. Start with a cell phone. You know, start with a cell phone and just – put it down while you're talking with your buddies. And there's a one of my friends on Facebook.
We don't want competition, Doug.
Well, here's the deal. There's no competition in podcasts.
That's true.
I mean, truly. I work with, and I'm going to give a couple shouts out here. The Lone Angler Podcast, that's Patrick Patches Olson. And Full Scale Outdoor Podcast, that's Dale Luganbill. And those two guys I work a lot with in promoting all three of these shows. And there's, you know, I've had a, I don't know, two or three other guys in the last few months come to me going, hey, you know, I want to start a podcast. Can you help me out? Yes. Yes, I can. Because
that's cool, man.
It's not a competition. You can listen to podcasts whenever you want. It's like the radio show, you know, this show we're talking. Yeah, there's competition because you can't go from this show to whatever else's, you know, show right now and listen to them both at the same time.
Scott Merwin says, do you even fish, bro?
No, I do not. No, I'm the world's worst fisherman. But, yeah, there's no competition. I love when people start. But what I was going to say is there's a guy that started a podcast with his cell phone. He records it to his iPhone because I tell people, look, just start recording. You've got a podcast machine in your pocket every day.
Right.
So there's no excuse. The sound might not be great, but if you have good content, there you go. Nobody cares. They just want to hear content. Content.
Well, that's almost the most successful YouTube shows aren't necessarily super high production.
Right.
It's entertaining, it's informative, and it just, you know, it's interesting to listen to. So, yeah.
Do you remember how Rogan's show started?
Yeah, I remember seeing
on Ustream.
Yeah, it looked nothing like it does now.
No. It looks like something you don't, not sure if you should be watching anymore. It's like, is this legal? What basement in China is this from?
I know, but he was one of the first. And he gets
some views, man.
Oh, yeah. And Donnie Vincent, our next guest. Yeah. I'm sure that opened a lot of people up to Donnie Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
We can talk about that. Yeah. I'm sure he's sick of answering questions about Joe Rogan, but that's what everyone is curious about, right?
I heard, now don't quote me on this. I could be wrong, but I read one somewhere that Joe Rogan gets more views a month than CNN.
He does.
He does, for sure. Yeah.
That's insane.
He's putting out multiple episodes a week, and he gets millions of views, and CNN's lucky to get a couple hundred thousand a night, I think, at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Zing.
Zing. Fake news.
Clinton News Network. Did I say that loud? Anyway, yeah.
No, that's so awesome, and I remember when you first started it and you were talking about it, and good for you for doing it. It does take a lot of time. People don't realize. I don't put hardly any effort into the show, but
it shows.
I should. But to sit down, I know it does. That's why I get other people
on. I like the show.
But, you know, 2 hours talking a conversation, you can get really in-depth. Like, we kind of have short-form interviews, you know, but...
Yep.
You really get to know someone over 2 hours, but it's a lot of work.
It's real life too, man. Like it's not fake. You can tell that. And I think that's what people latch onto it. Like they can feel like they're like a part of it.
I've had people walk up to me at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show and tell me, you know, we're sitting here talking and I meet him for the first time, you know, hey Doug, how you doing? And of course I feel like a jerk. Cause I'm like, hi stranger. I don't know who you are. And you know, after that weirdness gets over, but they go, you know, you stand there and you talk with them and they tell you, they go, you know, it's weird because I feel like I know you.
Right.
And that's because they listen to the podcast in long form.
Right.
And they're, you know, you get somebody's true feelings. I mean, I've had some blow-ups on the show. Bring up Mille Lacs.
Yeah.
Some absolute.
How do you feel about Mille Lacs?
I told you before the show, I don't want to swear, so we're not going to talk about it.
Are you excited to not be able to keep a fish?
Yeah, here we go. but anyway, it's but no, yeah, you get to know somebody, you know, like I think if I was able to meet Joe Rogan from listening to so many 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour podcasts, him, we could actually sit down and have a really good conversation because you feel like you do know him.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you. We'll get more on your contact info on how to follow SmackDown Outdoors podcast at the end of the show. But coming up next, we have Donnie Vincent. What a guest.
Donnie.
Movie madness is taking over Bob Country. You spent all winter watching them, now rank them. We're starting off with 32 movies facing off head-to-head in their genres and narrowing down the victors round by round until there's only one movie left, and that is the greatest. What is the greatest movie of all time? You decide. Vote today at MyBobCountry.com.
Devil's Lake, rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of America. It's grown from 70,000 acres to 160,000 acres plus in the last 40 years or so, and that's nearly unlimited opportunities. Ice fishing is now, and Devil's Lake is well known for its jumbo perch, plenty of walleyes for you to keep, 5 per day as a matter of fact, with 10 in possession, and listen closely, there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake, every angler's dream come true. Hey, trust Drew Man on this one, check it out at devilslakend.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with 3 locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at 3 locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Producer Mark here for Vexilar Marine Electronics. They've been in the business of marine electronics for 60 years. They're an absolute pioneer. And with that experience comes durability and features that everyone can love. I've had my FLX 28 for 3 years now. There's no machine out there better. I take it everywhere. A battery lasts for about 2 days. I can zoom in on the bottom 6 feet. I can change colors. It's so dependable. I take it everywhere. That's Vexilar.com. And don't forget about K-Drill. Get one maybe at the end of the year. Maybe there's some sales going on right now. I know ice is waning. But next year, have your K-Drill ready for your cordless drill. It pops through the ice with ease. That's K-Drill and Vexilar at Vexilar.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code Bob. Or call 800-606-7812 to take advantage of this amazing offer.
Check out the latest in virtual golf. Get a $50 certificate for X-Golf in Champlin and Blaine for only $25. For more details, check out DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
I'm going to let that music play a little bit, Brandon. I know Stu jumps on it a little fast. I love you, Stu. Anyway, we're back here on the Four Outdoorsmen. It's Sunday night. And thank you, Sam, for getting this next guest. Sam, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Mr. Donnie Vincent. I don't know if any of you have seen his movies, but if you haven't, you should. He takes hunting into a whole new perspective. He's a great guy, too. And the team that he surrounded himself with, they are absolutely amazing at what they put out. Donnie, you there?
Yeah, hey, guys.
How you doing, Donnie?
Good, man. How are you doing, Sam?
Pretty good. It's good to hear your voice. You got your family doing good?
Yeah, everyone's doing great. Everyone's doing great, and I'm wrapping up some traveling that it's been a little nuts the last couple of months, but yeah, it's good to get home, and now, of course, we're all entering a new realm of lifestyle for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's true. For the listeners listening in, it's Donnie Vincent. Donnie, could you give the people listening to the Four Outdoorsmen here a little bit of background, how you got into this industry and your passion and your drive and that we all see in your videos?
Yeah, man. I mean, I just love wildlife, like probably most of your listeners. And I couldn't get close enough. I couldn't spend enough time outdoors, so... when I ended up going to college, I decided to take up wildlife biology because it was something that I was anticipating was going to keep me in the outdoors as much as possible. And then I kept hunting alongside of that. And as I was hunting and seeing really, really amazing things, I'd want to catch them on film and catch them with photographs just so I can share them with friends and family. And one career kind of led to another, and I started doing filmmaking, and like most things in life, whether it be hunting, fishing, or throwing clay pots, or learning how to drive a race car, or anything, you start doing it, and the learning curve is steep. But if you take it seriously and dedicate yourself, you can really start to develop a technique, and that's what, as you know, the guys that I work with and myself, that's what we did. We really refined our strategies of how we wanted to be storytellers, and we just started, helping ourselves along with music and using better cameras and going to better places and just being honest and authentic. I hate that word gets thrown around a lot today, and people often ask me how do they get to do what I do, and really we don't do anything that's outside of the things that we love, which is storytelling, filmmaking, and being outside. So we just represent our tasks and talents, if you will, and one thing has led to another.
Donnie, producer Mark here. I just want to thank you. I know being in the public eye and being a big influencer, you get a lot of grief from the anti-hunting crowd. I love your responses to that. Thank you for being an advocate for those of us who want to harvest our own meat. Just in modern, what's going on right now, how do you think this is whole situation with everyone being on lockdown and shelves being empty, do you think this will have a positive effect on how people view hunters and people that harvest their own?
Yeah. Hey, Mark. I actually don't get a lot of hate mail or a lot of negative feedback from anti-hunters. For the most part, which surprises me, for the most part, I just get guys that ask me questions. I do get a little bit, of course, and I face it head on with as much time as I'm willing to, you know, to attribute to it. If somebody asks me a really good question, I'm definitely going to do it. If somebody strikes a nerve, that generally gets another response. But, but yeah, I think this is obviously a really unique, it's unique to human beings. This is something that is not something that we have experienced, but just a few times over the course of humans being on the face of the earth. But yes, I think when we are facing some of our luxuries being taken away, it gives people a new perspective, right? And for those of us that want to live in the country, if you will, for those of us that want to be out away from people or at least have our little corner of the globe and like to hunt and fish for our meat this is, I don't know how to state it. This is not that different of a time for me or for us. Like, I haven't altered my schedule. I mean, other than my traveling schedule, which is something that I do with business, but I haven't altered my schedule at all. I've been in the woods the last 4 or 5 days, hiking around, scouting, doing habitat work, and that's what I would be doing anyway, and that's what I'm doing now. And I'm not guarding myself from a lot of people because I wouldn't be spending a lot of time with a lot of people right now. I spend the majority of my life in a very small circle of people, 4 or 5 different people I spend 95% of my life with, and most of that is outdoors.
Right. Yeah, you're probably actually one of the safest people in the country right now.
Yeah, man, I just but this stuff makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people are frightened with what's going on, but this makes perfect sense to me. These viruses and these bacteria that go through mutations and either becoming zoonotic, which means that humans can get them, or they just go through a mutation into something that kind of gets out of hand. Like, this is what happens to animals, and that's what human beings are. We're animals, and so this is a natural course of Mother Nature. And as we're approaching 7 billion people on the Earth, things like this are bound to happen.
For sure, Donnie. So, Sam here again. I got the privilege to come to one of your premieres to watch The Other Side in Columbia Heights, and I just watched it again a couple weeks ago with my in-laws and my wife, and Kyle just sent me a little preview of the new one you have coming out. I think it's in August. You want to talk a little bit about that, The Birthplace of the Wind?
Yeah, Ada, the new film that we're doing in conjunction with Benelli. We spent 8 weeks in Alaska this year. Not all of it was for this Benelli piece, but Benelli's coming out with their new bolt-action rifle, the Lupo. It's something that Benelli's never done. I believe they did a semi-automatic rifle years ago that they still carry in their lineup. But this is an entirely new endeavor for them. And like everything Benelli does, they went to the nth degree and they wanted to create a production rifle that was as tough as the Benelli name, and they wanted to create a production rifle that you could take apart in the field, completely clean it, and possibly repair it or adjust it if need be, and put it all back together with very few tools in your tent, which is also something that Benelli stands for and encourages their hunters to be able to do and their law enforcement to be able to do. So, they reached out to us. We do a little bit of work with Benelli through our good friend Lee Chose at Chose Outdoors, and they reached out to us and just said we want to release this rifle in a big way, and we want to do it differently. And they just asked us if we had any ideas, and one of our ideas was, we just said no one's really released a product with a full feature film that is nearly entirely based off of storytelling, and not turn it into an infomercial,
right?
Not turn it into the spotlight of the Lupo and nothing else, but literally just go to an amazing place, no matter where that be, film for a couple of weeks, and make the film about the wildlife, and make the film about the place that we're at and the weather and the people we're with and the tools that we're using, which happens to be the Lupo on this trip. And so we went to Adak Island for 2 weeks. At the end of our 8-week stint, and filmed with our crew and hunted caribou, and then they're releasing a couple of new shotguns as well, or adjusted shotguns, I should say, they're releasing a new over-under. Their AAU 828, they're releasing 20 gauge this year, and then there's a Super Black Eagle 3 with a new coating. And we used all those guns as we do with any tool that we have, and we just did a beautiful film, and I really think it's going to be an amazing piece. But, yes, right now they are in control of the release date. We are in control of building the film, editing the film, producing the film, writing music. And so I believe they want to release it in August.
Yeah, it looks amazing, man. Again, like your team, Kyle and William and yourself, they do such a great job with capturing everything. And like I said, Kyle sent me that little glimpse of it today, and I'm pretty pumped to watch it. It's going to be good, man.
I appreciate that, man. It was I really appreciate that, Sam. It was a scary place. It was, you know, whenever you bring up Alaska, everyone wants to talk about brown bears and grizzly bears. But really, in Alaska, the scariest thing is the weather. And ADAC had everything that weather is capable of. It threw at us. And I'm sure Kyle maybe told you, but it was definitely one of the hairiest situations I've ever been in. When you're in a 45-foot boat and waves are towering over you on all sides and they're completely disorganized, not traveling in a singular fashion, is just, you know, horrifying, if you will. And you know, it kind of reminded me of, everyone has probably seen the scene from The Perfect Storm, and while we weren't facing 6 and 7, 8, 9, 10 story waves, we were facing, you know, 2 and 3, 4 story waves, and it was to see your boat skidding down, like not cruising down a wave, skidding down because of the angle, and having another wave come over the top of you. And you know, the captain of the boat is, we're watching his body literally fly across the cabin, land on the other side. We're all trying to scram. One of our motors goes out. We're working on the motor while we're going up these walls, and the boat is literally falling. You know, sometimes the boat would fall like 10, 15, 20 feet, slam into the bottom, you know. And then the captain tells us, you know, hey, please, no one fall out of the boat, because if you fall out, I literally will not even be able to turn around to get you.
Hopefully William was, like, strapped in the corner videotaping all this.
Yeah, we videotaped when we could, but there was a lot of the time that we had to quite literally strap cameras down, strap people down, and we're literally holding onto the boat, holding onto one another, and it got interesting, but it's going to be a beautiful film. So unfortunately, some of the hairiest stuff we're not going to see, because we're not Hollywood, right? And like in The Perfect Storm, they make those waves, they make that boat. That's all stuff that's done on a computer screen, which we're not going to do. And so when you're in the real scary stuff, it's pretty spectacular.
Speaking of scary, one of the craziest scenes in The Other Side will make me never complain about another mosquito again in my life, Donnie. When you're sitting on that mountain, glassing bear, and it looks like bees are like hiving on his back or swarming on his back, and it's mosquitoes. How did you get through that? Like your mental state must have just been like crazy.
Yeah, it's just mental, man. I mean, we're there in the springtime, and I'll never forget it. It was cold, blustery, you know, really raw. When you're hunting in Northwest Alaska in the springtime, it can be really brutal weather. And then one day, it was maybe 75 degrees. The sun was out, not a whisper of wind. We were literally backpacking, wearing T-shirts. And I said to my friend Lance, the guy we were hunting with, I just said, you know, what a beautiful day. This is unbelievable. Maybe one of the greatest days of my life as far as weather, temperature, where I am, what I'm doing. Absolutely spectacular. And he said, he looked at me and he always bites his bottom lip. He looked at me and he just bit his bottom lip and he said, wait till tomorrow. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, a billion mosquitoes are hatching today. Wait till tomorrow. And we woke up, it was whatever, 12 hours later. Because when you're hunting grizzly bears, you hunt as long as you can take it. You hike as long as you can take it. Sometimes we would hike 27, 28, 29 hours. We would hike nonstop. Without sleeping. We would stop to melt snow for water, and we would occasionally stop for a meal, But other than that, we would have our backpacks on and would be hiking in a singular direction. You cannot run out of country to hike. And so you hike 26, 27, 28, 29 hours. Finally, when you couldn't take it anymore, literally you're out of gas. We'd eat dinner, which sometimes we would fall asleep before we would even eat our dinner, and then we'd just eat it for breakfast. But you eat dinner, you crawl in the tent, and you sleep for as long as you want to sleep. It doesn't matter because it's light 24 hours a day. When you're done sleeping, you get up and you hunt as long as you possibly can before you go to sleep again. So when we went to bed, we slept for however long it was, probably 10 hours. When we woke up in the morning, we thought it was pouring rain and it was mosquitoes just trying to get in the tent.
Oh, my gosh. So, Donnie, we appreciate
forward,
you.
It was truly, truly a phenomenon. I mean, awe-inspiring. It was as horrible as you can imagine, but literally, once you just come to peace with it, because you can't put bug spray on your body, right? It's poison. You can't, like, you can put bug spray on for an hour, but if you put bug spray on for 2 or 3 days straight, you'll pass out. Like, you can't even walk around. That stuff is so poisonous. So you can't put bug spray on. So you just have to become, you know, a little Jedi mind trick there.
Yeah, I don't know how
you try
do
to
it.
Be present.
Well, man, we really appreciate you coming on, Donnie. If you could, I know you said Benelli's in charge of releasing it, but could you give our listeners a place where they could go purchase your films and wait for that new one coming out in August? Where can we find your stuff at?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to DonnieVincent.com, DonnieVincent, DonnieVincent.com, and then Donnie_Vincent on Instagram, and you can track down our films through there. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I know we're not there yet, but I know within the month, all of our films are going to be on iTunes as well.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, listeners, go check it out. Donnie, again, we appreciate you having on. We're going to let you go, man, and stay safe and say hi to your family.
Thanks, boys. Have a great night.
You too, Donnie.
Woo. If you have never seen his work, even the trailers, it's incredible.
I know. I just watched the trailers.
Utterly
I got to start actually buying that stuff.
That scene that I was talking about with the mosquitoes, you can't even imagine.
I'm gonna download it. Hey, there's something for me to do in the...
Yeah, this week, he's got three full-featured films, or like yep. 80 or 90 minutes. And the other side is like collectively like three bear hunts within one. My gosh, man. And he shows everything. He shows the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yep.
Speaking of things you can do in your off time, Doug, one more shout-out to SmackDown Outdoors Podcast. How do we find you?
Just go to the Facebook page, download it subscribe wherever podcasts are available. The Make Fish Famous podcast is available on Podbean, Stitcher, and YouTube. As of now, we're just waiting for the approvals, Apple and Google and stuff like that.
Awesome. Well, thanks, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, social distancing, all that stuff. You know, a 6-foot rod is the perfect distance to stay away from somebody. Get out if you can. And one more thing. What do you got to say, Sam?
Get outdoors.